New Sound Radio 92 FM. As the coronavirus pandemic takes different turns and coming with the different variants around the globe, our scientists in the UK are cracking on with finding a cure and pushing coronavirus tests to all various communities. And especially in Waltham Forest, that's driving the COVID-19 testing with a campaign to reach diverse community. That's due to research showing that Black, Asian and minority ethnic communities have been disproportionately affected by the coronavirus pandemic. And we've got Dr. Saida here. And Dr. Saida, who spent 29 years in research and has a PhD in fungal virology, was also a chair for Waltham Forest Women's Network for a number of years, who's going to be telling us the facts and figures and what we should do and why should we take the test, which Waltham Forest Borough Council is pushing out in a big way.
Yes, Tari, it's really interesting, actually, and it's absolutely fantastic that Waltham Forest is doing quite a lot and a lot of campaigning and advertising to get more South Asian people tested, with our knowledge that the South Asian population do have a higher risk of catching COVID-19 and also seem to suffer more as well. It's been known, I think, right from the beginning that both the BAME and the South Asian community seem to have a much higher prevalence of COVID-19. And the reports looking at those in the media, especially highlighted by those that worked in the NHS, for example, there was a much, much higher proportion of Bangladeshi, Pakistani medics, doctors and nurses who were catching it and dying. So there was a number of studies that have been going around globally, but I looked at one in particular which was reported in The Lancet, and it looked at a survey of about 40% of GPs across England and included health data from about 17 million adults, which is quite a good number of people to get statistically significant data. And they saw that in the first wave, definitely all ethnic minorities had much higher risk of being of testing positive, of being hospitalized, and also much higher mortality rates. In the second wave, sort of like the disparity between the Black Africans and the Asians narrowed, but looking back, there is still a much higher risk with South Asian population, and it's a lot to do with pre-existing conditions and also diet, weight, blood pressure, which are issues that the South Asians deal with aside from having COVID-19. So it's not just this particular disease. It's something that's already there in their sort of system, in their genetics and general health issues. So but it's been highlighted by this particular infection.
So do you think it's something, I mean, is the diet as well? Because a lot of the time when the epidemic has started off, people were saying, oh, no, no, we're fine because our diet, you know, we eat the turmeric, and in the community, which was, people were blowing it out of proportion, thinking that, you know, the herbal medicine will take care of this.
I think you always will hear things about herbal medicine being cures. They're not cures, but they can help alleviate symptoms, for example. We know that. But diet, I think, plays a big factor in your general health. And if your general health is not up to scratch, is not up to standard, or you have a poor immune system, then none of these things are going to help you. None of them. And this is true for, you know, even just the common cold. We know that some people are more susceptible to catching colds and flus, and others can be exposed to it, and they just don't show the same level of aggressive symptoms. And it's exactly the same thing with this particular infection.
A lot of research has gone into it since the epidemic started, and a lot of people have started taking notice now that this it's here, it's affecting, and especially, like you said, the South Asian community. And Waltham Forest Borough itself is highly populated with a lot of mixed communities there as well. So they're doing a very good campaign in getting across to say that these tests are important. And then going on to another question, which is, the Indian variant. Why is this? Why is the name Indian variant there?
Well, technically, sorry, there is no Indian variant. It's actually B1617. That is the name of this particular variant. This labeling of Indian variant is very much to do with media and people, and unfortunately, it stigmatizes groups. And so actually, I think this was actually just yesterday, the Indian government asked for the Indian variant labels to be removed from social media because of the fact that they were now seeing attacks of people from sort of like the Asian, South Asian backgrounds being attacked. Very similar to at the beginning when it was all about China.
Yeah.
And it's actually the World Health Organization's responsibility to label and name variants. But it's very difficult. I mean, it's much easier for us to give a name that we can say, for example, Indian or Chinese, for example, than to roll out these very similar sounding letters and numbers. And there is talks about naming the variants very in a similar way to the way we do hurricanes and storms, which will be much, much better. So in terms of the Indian variant, it's not that Indian people are more likely to catch it or more likely to spread it. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that it's a particular variant that has developed when the virus has accumulated mutations that make it probably more transmissible. They're maybe more severe. The symptoms might be more severe. There were concerns that the vaccine wouldn't work, but there's no proof of that. But because it's the latest variant that has gained media attention, it's kind of, I think, a little bit exploded.
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember is we have the variants, but we have over years, a year and a half's worth of information, knowledge now to tackle this. It's not like we were back in sort of February, March 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
And apart from the fact that we have the vaccine, which is being rolled out, the testing is paramount. And as you mentioned, Baltimore Forest is a very high proportion of South Asian people, but also we have a very high proportion of South Asian clinicians and doctors and nurses who have been working in this field, who are available to ask questions and also have been available to provide the testing at various centers. And this will help us to make the fact that this variant or, you know, the high susceptibility in South Asian communities not such a frightening thing. I think that's the other thing. People get frightened. So they're frightened, first of all, from the virus. They're frightened from the vaccine, and also they're frightened from testing because they think if they see that they get a positive result, they've got corona, and there's that stigmatization, which we need to get rid of.
Yeah.
One of the things about South Asian communities, which has meant that the rate of testing positive and the spread of the disease is high, it's because of the way that we live. But I'm South Asian as well, so we have very close-knit families. And we have multi-generational families living in one household.
Yeah.
So we tend to have our mothers and our grandmothers living with us.
Of course.
And no matter how careful we are, there's definitely a proportion of us that have to go out to work. And if you go to and look at the NHS, if you go to the testing centres, if you go to, say, Waltham Forest Council areas, there is a high proportion of Asian people, and we're bringing the virus back with us. And one of the... For me, as a scientist, what's been really fascinating about COVID-19 is the fact that about a third of the people who catch COVID-19 or have this particular virus have no symptoms. We're actually the most dangerous people this time. If people are coughing and sneezing, you know, stay home, or you go and you get your test, or you make sure that you isolate.
Yeah.
But the ones who may have it but do not show symptoms and are out there, circulating, socializing, working, are the ones who are inadvertently and innocently spreading this particular virus. It's not like the flu, where we know we've got it.
So would you say
coughing, we're sneezing everywhere? Yeah.
So would you say that if even the ones who haven't got it, haven't got the symptoms, if they do the test, will they know that they've got it?
You're on the right path. Because if you don't have symptoms, so for example, the PCR test will look at a virus that's in your body even before you have symptoms. But if you have symptoms, it's also very good because it will confirm it. And that means that you can take action. You can take responsible action of, I'm going to stay at home, I'm going to isolate, I'm not going to mix with people. And we're very lucky that we have housing situations where we can do this in most circumstances. Yeah. Or if we know that we live in a multi-generation family, we're going to have to say, okay, I've caught it, I'm positive. Everybody in this house will now have to isolate. And a lot of us have been doing that very responsibly. But then there's the other side of the coin where you've got people who are out and about. So now we are kind of returning back to normality here. So I currently run a restaurant in central London, and there are more people coming out. And that is the whole point of, for example, the vaccination program.
Of course,
But before we're all vaccinated and before we can put this virus to bed, so to speak, we still need to be actively testing. We need to know our status and the test kits that we can take home.
Because
the thing about PCR testing, you need a whole laboratory, you need equipment.
Yeah.
But these rapid flow tests that you can go to any centre and get a result in 15 to 30 minutes are also being given out. So Waltham Forest Council has given out a total of 90,000 of these kits that you can take home and test yourself. And the schools are using it. So children need to be tested like twice a week.
Of course, yeah.
And nothing in life is 100%, but it's a very, very good indicator. So I did my lateral flow test last night. I've got a nice, clean band. I'm out here today. I've got my mask. I'm keeping my distance. And I'm comfortable knowing that actually I don't have the presence of the viral particles in my system to spread. But had I seen that I had two lines, then the first thing I would have done was like, right, guys, I can't come in. I need to go for a PCR test now to make sure that it's real. And then I'll have to isolate. So, you know, it's not just doing one test and then getting your result and thinking that's it, I can take an action. There are steps that you need to follow afterwards as well.
Yeah. So that's why taking two tests a week is a good idea.
It's a very good idea, because the other thing to remember is once you get infected, it takes time for the virus to build up in your body. And it takes time for your body to react. And we know that the incubation period for this particular virus is anywhere between, on average, 4 to 10 to 14 days, which is why they say isolate for 14 days. But there have even been cases of people being infected and not showing symptoms for 29 days.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite a very, very big window. And that window, when you're not showing symptoms or you will be asymptomatic throughout, are the periods where you are most dangerous, because that is when you can spread without thinking. So testing twice a week gives you an indication of you may be infected or you may not be. But we still, whatever our results are, the important thing to remember is we do need to keep our behavior patterns as we are now, with the mask, with the hand washing. And I'm certainly hoping that the hand washing is something that we keep going for the rest of our lives. It's amazing how this has slipped our minds. And it's one of the biggest factors that has made a difference in curbing the spread of the virus, and also distancing and social distancing measures that I think have worked globally.
Definitely. I mean, when you go abroad, whenever somebody comes from outside, first thing you do is wash your hands.
It's a UK custom.
We in the UK, the only ones, we never wash our hands. We go straight into the kitchen, pick up food and eat it and do whatever. So these sort of things, I suppose, you know, it's a habit.
I think it's kind of reminded us of basic hygiene.
Definitely.
I think the other thing that's come out of this, and obviously it's not been fantastic, but I think we've learned a lot globally about hygiene, about viruses, about bacteria, because people have gone to the trouble of trying to understand what they are and how they spread. And hopefully this has also helped with other infectious diseases as well.
Definitely, Now, with the variant now, it's sort of taking different shapes and sizes, and, you know, it's been progressing itself. All these tests that are coming out, how would I know which test to take and which is the best test, or is there a best test that people should look at? I mean, Waltham Forest is doing a great job in sending out test kits, you know, at home. You can just go onto the website and...
Okay, so if you have symptoms, then we need to go back to the regime that was suggested right at the beginning of the pandemic. So the first thing to do is make sure that you isolate.
Yeah.
Then your next step would be a PCR test. So this is the one that you would need to go to a center or request a specific PCR test to be sent to you because you're showing symptoms. That takes a couple of days to come back. On the other hand, the kits that you were talking about that you can request from the government website, that the schools are getting, and that you can get from Waltham Forest Council, these are the ones that you can do at home, or you can go to their test centres, and that's usually for those people who are asymptomatic, which is why it's almost like a practice of doing that test twice a week. The ones that you can do at home, obviously, are much more convenient for you, and they give you some information. If you tested positive, then I would suggest that you would request and make an appointment to have a proper PCR test to confirm that you do actually have COVID-19, and then follow the steps of the isolation and also when symptoms disappear, and obviously inform those people that you've been in contact with.
So, the test would, like you're saying, it's twice a week. Is sufficient. Mm-hmm. One thing people will always ask, why so often, and will a test every 3 to 4 days really make much of a difference to them?
It will make a difference because you're picking something up in the system that might not be visible to other people. Remember that you cannot look at somebody and say you have an infection.
Yeah.
But these kits can do it, and they're very, very easy to use. They're very, very simple to use.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about variants.
Yeah.
Variants are here and they are going to stay. And we're going to see the changes happen on a regular basis.
Yeah.
The thing about these kits is that they can still detect them because they're not specific to one variant.
Yeah.
It's like having a family that can be recognized by a group. So, for example, say you have, say we look at my family, so I'm Abu Amero.
Yeah.
You can find all the Abu Ameros, but I'll be a different variant, if you like.
Okay.
So I could be like, do you see what I mean? It's all about a generic thing that you're looking for to say, you've got it, but I'm not sure which variant you have.
Yeah.
The thing about the PCR testing, which in this country has really, really impressed me, to be honest, is the fact that they will sequence the actual sample that they take from you.
Yeah.
Which is how they've been tracking and tracing the different variants across the world. And that's really important for us to understand how it's moving and how we can control it. I don't think we're going to get rid of it because it's just spread too much now. And the lag between different countries from different socioeconomic backgrounds being able to provide vaccines, for example, is not equal around the world. So it's going to be with us for a while. So this need to this understanding that we need to be able to control it and live with it, as opposed to, right, we're going to get rid of it with the vaccines, is not going to go away. So the testing is here for a while, because we're going to get a vaccine today. We may have a booster vaccine next year.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that you cannot catch this virus. You can still catch it.
Yep.
The whole point of having the vaccine is literally just to reduce the severity, hopefully, of the symptoms, and also to reduce mortality. But it doesn't mean that it's gone. In the interim, the testing will help us to control our behavior, if you like, to be responsible and not spread the disease by going out if we have proof or some evidence that we are testing positive.
Of course. I mean, you being a virologist, I mean, is this the most sort of challenging virus you've ever come across, would you think, how are we going to get rid of this?
Not really. No? That's the thing. I think if you ask any virologist, for me, it's been really interesting. It's been a fascinating journey watching the development, because pandemics don't happen every day. It's like every 150 years.
Yep.
And to actually see how it's progressing, how it's changed, how it's spread across the world, knowing the things that we could have done to actually halt the spread globally, and how we're tackling it now, is really, really interesting and important. But we've learned a lot of other things along the way,
I hope,
put into practice. The biggest challenge, I think, for this disease is the fact that many people, a third of the people apparently, have no symptoms. And that's what these lateral tests are all about, is trying to find those people who are asymptomatic. So for you, it's for us, it should just be like a routine behavior. It's not going to happen for the rest of our lives, but it will certainly happen until we've got more people vaccinated, until we say we've reached that herd immunity, the phrase that was bandied around right at the beginning of the pandemic. We need to get to that point before we can say, right, okay, maybe we don't need to do testing on such a regular basis. But if you've done the test, it's not difficult. It's not that invasive.
No.
So some people do find it difficult to do. It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
But in the long term, the fact that it can save your life, it can save somebody's life in your family or somebody that you come across in the street,
it is.
Should make it something that is like, okay, you know what? For 30 seconds of discomfort, I'm going to do something good.
No, definitely.
And,
I mean, it's not even that bad. I mean, I've done it myself. I've done the test a few times now, so it's not that difficult. You know, you get used to it after a while. You know exactly what to do.
Yes, and considering the other things that you have to deal with in life that are much more invasive,
yeah.
such, for example, with cancers, having cerebrospinal fluid taken when you think you've got meningitis, this is.
Yeah. Very minor.
A walk in the park. It's
definitely,
very, very minor.
Definitely.
And we're very lucky.
Yeah.
We're very lucky we can do this at home.
Yeah.
Very, very fortunate. And we should use it as an example for others to say, right, this is a really good way to go.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you're not waiting in the queue. You can do that at your own leisure.
Exactly.
You know, whenever. Yeah, in the morning or in the evening, afternoon, whenever you feel like it, you can take the test.
There's no excuses, really.
Definitely not.
You're not going to be cured. You're less likely to catch it.
Yeah.
Or if you do catch it, your body already has a defense system in place.
Yeah.
It's like when you have... So the whole point of... So if you get infected, your body has to work while your immune system is low to produce like an army of these antibodies to fight the virus.
Okay.
When you have a vaccine, your immune system is good because you're feeling well, and so your army is generated much faster and is strong.
Yeah.
So when you do face the virus, which is the enemy, your body can work much more efficiently.
So having the vaccine is just as important.
It's very, very important to have the vaccine. You probably guess I'm very pro-vaccine.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah.
And we were all vaccinated as children. We automatically vaccinate our children. There is no consent or thought. I completely understand when people are very anxious and nervous about having this vaccine because it's not been around that long.
Yeah.
But the technology and the understanding of vaccine and vaccine programs we've had for over 100 years.
Yeah.
And what vaccines have done for humanity in general is much, much greater than any other invention that has been done, created by humans in terms of saving human lives, because it's something that can be done globally.
Yeah. So with this, with the vaccine and the testing, it will stop the spread. But at the same time, people, you know, the thing, as soon as they're vaccinated, as soon as they're taking the test, I'm okay. I can go out and, you know, not wear a mask. I don't really have to clean my hands if I don't want to. I don't have to keep the distance. I can go and hug people and all that.
We haven't reached that point where we are safe yet because we still have a large number of people who are not vaccinated for various reasons. Not every country has reached the level of vaccination, vaccinating their population as we have.
Mm.
And we need to keep that behavior pattern going.
Yeah.
The masks are important. The hand washing is important. The social distancing is important as well. There are times when it's hard to keep that, but that's why having these tests done like twice a week do make a difference. Because they will flag up a potential problem, so it doesn't become a real problem.
Of course, I mean, Waltham Forest now have given out over 90,000 kits.
Free. More than 90,000 cases have been given out.
Yeah. So the policy going forward with this, where do you see this sort of leading to, and how do you think people should make the most of this?
I think, in terms of having a national relief from the lockdowns, which has been very damaging to people's mental health, to people's livelihoods, to the economy of the country, the responsible thing going forward, obviously the ultimate thing we were all waiting for is the vaccine, which we've got.
Yeah.
But it takes time. It takes time to make it. It takes time to distribute it. It takes time for us to receive it and for our bodies to work. You know, once that needle goes in, doesn't mean that you're immune. Your body needs to produce antibodies. And remember, everybody's body is different.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to have such an effective immune system to generate these antibodies, which is why none of these vaccines are 100%. That's the other thing.
Right.
In the meantime, we need to keep going with, as I've mentioned a couple of times now, with the behavior and the testing,
mm-hmm.
until a time comes where the health authorities will say, okay, we can take the next step. We've actually gone really, really far. We've only got one more step before we're told that there's no social restrictions at all.
Of course.
Yeah. Which may be delayed, and although it may seem unfair, it's the responsible thing to do.
Yeah.
To say, right, we've seen a slight rise in infections, we're going to have to delay the next stage, which is complete freedom. But the idea is we will get to that point one of these days,
definitely.
And it will be this year, I hope.
Yeah,
but it's up to us. It's actually up to us to do this.
No, definitely.
And we can do it collectively. And going right back, you know, trying to remember the fact that we are talking about the South Asian population,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of us. And we do have a responsibility as well.
Yeah.
To do the testing and not to be frightened. And the great thing is we have a lot of resources and people that we can talk to. So I would definitely recommend that people don't go and look up, you know, YouTube videos, for example, because we've got such friendly teams at GP surgeries.
Yeah.
I've personally worked with a couple of the people at Waltham Forest
mm-hmm.
on this project. And also affiliated organizations have done a couple of videos on the vaccine and on the virus, etc., just to get the message out there and to get people talking to the right people, to the health professionals, to the people giving out the vaccines, so that you can ask real people for real data moving forward. And that's really, really important.
It is. I mean, during the pandemic, the social media was covered with a lot of nonsense, which weren't even based on facts or figures.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really, really important. Social media is a double-edged sword. It can
do
great things, and it can do some very, very bad things. And it's sometimes difficult to filter it out. But real information is always available. The real data is always available. And for me, if in doubt, go and seek someone else.
No, definitely.
Everybody's happy to talk.
Now, with these rapid tests, we're talking about tests again, have been reported to have having high false positives and negatives. What should you do with those?
False positives and false negatives.
Yeah.
So if you have a false positive result, it's suggesting that you have an infection when you don't.
Right.
And that seems to be an issue with the PCR testing.
Right.
So you may not have an, for example, let's say you've had COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
You may still have bits of dead virus floating around in your body, in your bloodstream, for example, or in body fluids. And that's what that false positive is.
Okay.
It's just suggesting that you have the virus. You had it, and it's seen it, but the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a false negative, it's suggesting that you don't have COVID-19 or you don't have any viral particles, whereas, in fact, you do. So in such circumstances, it's just one of those technical things. You can redo the test a couple of days later to see the results. With the PCR testing, the accuracy has improved many fold. So I believe the accuracy is a good 97% to 98% now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did a lateral test at home and you saw a positive result, get yourself retested. If you have symptoms, but your lateral test is suggesting that you don't, you can still get a PCR test, which will give you a much higher result. But keep the testing going. It's not to say that it's 100% effective, but the more people who do it, and the more often you do it, the more likely you are to catch a person that has an infection that can potentially spread it.
To round it up, what would you suggest, I mean, to the community? What message would you give them?
What message would I give to the South Asian community about testing?
Yeah.
And going back to the very first question, it's part of a community thing. So the South Asian have an amazing community spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the infection rates were high is because we live in multi-generation families and we look after each other's family. That's another important thing to note. And that's a very positive aspect.
Yeah.
And that aspect needs to be expanded so that those individuals who have a better understanding of, for example, virology, understanding of testing, mm-hmm. PCR testing and vaccination, share that information across the generations and across the households so that those individuals who have misunderstanding, I just want to use it as a word as a misunderstanding. It's not that they don't understand what's going on. They've been given information that's incorrect. I've seen the way these videos have gone around. Mm-hmm. I've stopped so many of these videos in their past and said, fine, this is a video. Find me the source. Find me the information. Look at where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And for those of us who understand this, it's our responsibility to go back to people and say, okay, this is not real, but this is real.
Yeah.
And to encourage, not just to encourage by words, but also to show people. So, for example, do the test at home and do it with your grandmother and say, I can help you do it and show you how it works and explain it. And it's very, very surprising mm-hmm. how once the stigma as well of testing and results and being positive, for example, is taken away, it does make a difference. I certainly know, like, for a couple of my friends, their parents were like, we're not having the vaccine.
Yeah.
And then they saw what was happening around them, and they're like, we're going to have the vaccine. But they were scared. And I said, no, we're going to talk about what it is.
Yeah.
What is a vaccine? And you're going to have the vaccine being comfortable in what you're doing, not because you're scared.
Yeah.
Same with the testing as well.
Yeah.
Just because it says it's positive doesn't mean you've done something bad. It doesn't mean you're going to do something bad. It just means you're going to have to change your behavior, maybe isolate at home and get tested to make sure that everything's okay, and just stop the spread.
Yeah, it's like the test is a very private thing. You don't have to do it in front of anyone. You can do it by yourself, as alone and see the results. Yeah, so
there shouldn't be. But now that school children have to do it twice a week.
Yeah.
So I think that should be a really great example to the elders and to the family that it's not difficult. The kids are doing it themselves now. Yeah. They're all becoming little scientists, which is fantastic. I love the thought of this. And like I said, this is not going to be for the rest of our lives. This is for now. And I think we've gone through the worst of everything. So this little thing up your nose is
minor.
Just a little discomfort. It's minor compared to having a tube ventilator shoved down your lungs.
Absolutely,
it's minor. So go for it.
Yeah, definitely. Dr. Saida, thank you very much for coming on New Sound Radio 92 FM. So hopefully this should have answered all your questions about testing and COVID-19 and the variants that are affecting our local community. So there you have it. Find out more about Waltham Forest's advice on the importance of testing regularly at walthamforest.gov.uk/stay safe.
Yes, thank you so much for your time.